The subject of today's podcast is entrepreneurship, and it's the first in five on that subject. All five podcasts are going to revolve around the question of how entrepreneurship impacts the economy. Now, there's a common sense answer to the question that we're exploring here, and that is that entrepreneurship is absolutely central to the economy. Since the 1990s, innovation entrepreneurship has gotten a real center stage role in policy conversations and business strategy and probably even in the popular imagination. And since the turn of the century, entrepreneurship and the figure of the entrepreneur in particular has become incredibly more central to how we think about the development of industries and the economy as a whole. In the academic sense, it is, as is always the case, somewhat more complex. It's quite uncontroversial that entrepreneurs are important to the economy and to how it develops, and that is most importantly because entrepreneurs play an important role in innovation. It's also a fact of capitalist systems that there's a lot of churn in them, and that some firms naturally close down and that others come to replace them. And those new entrants are, by statistical definition, entrepreneurs. But it's important to know that churn is not in itself valuable. Innovation is, and that's because innovation brings productivity improvement, and productivity improvement is the engine of Schumpeterian growth, and that is what has historically made us rich. Now, it should really come as no surprise to you that entrepreneurs play an important role in innovation. In the previous lectures, we've talked about that when we talked about technology and how new entrants bring about a lot of technological change and how new entrants can have advantages over incumbents. Now, those new entrants were typically, or like per definition, entrepreneurs, and so we know that they play an important role in the introduction of new technologies. They play an important role in bringing about eras of ferment. They play an important role in opportunity recognition and in disruptive innovation, to name but a few. And we also know that when firms try to be structurally ambidextrous, they're trying to create explorative subunits that are essentially like entrepreneurial firms, but embedded within a corporate structure, because that's how they can be creative. So yes, entrepreneurs are uncontroversially important to the economy. What is controversial is the degree to which they're important, the capacity in which they are important. Now, it's worth kind of looking back to get an understanding of how entrepreneurs came to be understood in this way. Now, Schumpeter's work, especially his early work, was all about this. Entrepreneurs were the ones who, in his vision, shocked the economy out of its circular flow, or what Anderson and Tushman would later call eras of incremental change. They were the ones, i.e. entrepreneurs were the ones, who through the force of their visions and personalities forced change into a change-resistant economy. And that is sort of the image of the entrepreneur that Schumpeter was having, right? It was an entrepreneur that was incredibly vigorous, driven, obsessed with bringing a certain vision of the future to fruition. Now, that's also the image that spills over into today's popular depictions of the entrepreneur. The heroic entrepreneur is pretty much the entrepreneur as Schumpeter imagined him. Most popularly, you can sort of think of the depictions that you often see of Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or Elon Musk as the incarnations of this idea. Most ridiculously, probably, is Elon Musk's likening to the Tony Stark inside Iron Man. But it's these and also other less famous but nonetheless pretty grandiose figures that propel the economy in the Schumpeterian vision, or at least in the early Schumpeterian vision. They are what drive the creative destruction of the economy before that term was actually coined. They're inherently disruptive in both the narrow technical sense and the wider, more popular one. They're possessed with this unique spirit to bring novelty into the world. But it's worth appreciating that by the time Schumpeter was writing Capitalism, Socialism, and Democracy, and actually coining the term creative destruction, he'd fallen slightly out of love with his youthful image of the entrepreneur. When he wrote The Theory of Economic Development, which is where he developed this idea of the entrepreneur, he was at a very different place from when he was actually writing Capitalism, Socialism, and Democracy. In Capitalism, Socialism, and Democracy, he afforded large corporations a much more substantial role as the engines of innovation in the economy, and for good reason. You can sort of just think about this and how a large firm can invest more, leverage more assets to innovate successfully, and in principle take much greater risk because they can diversify in a way that individual entrepreneurs can't. On sort of a biographical note, Schumpeter also moved to the United States after having written The Theory of Economic Development. He moved from the University of Bonn to Harvard University in 1932, and that brought him to a country where the corporate R&D lab was probably at its most refined, probably not definitely, and with some variation, of course, but where the practice of corporate R&D was more developed than in many other places. And that sort of led him to a greater appreciation of the incumbent firm's role in innovation. This difference in Schumpeter's ideas, with the first period sometimes referred to as Schumpeter Mark I, and the later as Schumpeter Mark II because they're so different, is a nice illustration of why all innovation theory is basically footnotes to Schumpeter. Pretty much like how all philosophy, at least according to some philosophers, is a set of footnotes to Plato. After all, what will it be then? Are entrepreneurs actually the drivers of economic change? Or are their efforts eclipsed by those of incumbents? These are questions that the next four podcasts will be dealing with. We'll be talking about Israel Kirchner's book, Competition and Entrepreneurship. We'll be talking about the paper titled When Does Startup Innovation Spur the Gale of Creative Destruction? By Joshua Gans, David Hsu, and Scott Stern. And then we'll be talking about the paper Muppets and Gazelles, Political and Methodological Biases in Entrepreneurship Research by Paul Nightingale and Alex Code. And I'll be offering a somewhat critical take on the question in a paper that is co-authored with Anas Del Cabe and Andre Spicer, which is called Towards an Entrepreneurial Economy, the Entrepreneurship Industry and the Rise of the Veblenian Entrepreneur. In different ways, all of the arguments are trying to offer correctives, adjustments to Schumpeter's vision, albeit in very different ways. At the end of this 5-episode sequence, you should have an understanding of how entrepreneurship can serve to balance the economy, not shake it up, as Schumpeter imagined, and in that way be something more mundane and also more widespread than what Schumpeter actually described. You should appreciate that whether entrepreneurs actually disturb the economy and bring about creative destruction depend on the strategies that entrepreneurs choose. And those strategies are contingent on the functioning of what's called the market for ideas. You should also understand that the typical entrepreneur is not in any way as heroic as Schumpeter, but rather economically marginal, underperforming, and that most entrepreneurs actually have virtually zero impact on the economy. And you might appreciate, you might also not, how the emergence of an industry that ostensibly supports entrepreneurship might in fact bring about more low-quality entrepreneurship, and that the Schumpeterian entrepreneur might, and I underscore might, be becoming an even rarer beast than it already is.